Daniel tonight, chapter 7. And we're going to have fun with this because we had a great time this morning in Psalm 108. And we're going to have some kind of little overlaps in here. We're going to see our Savior high and lifted up, our awesome King, divine ruler. His kingdom lasts forever and ever and ever. We're going to see that a little bit tonight as we consider Daniel chapter 7. And we have looked at our first point, God is sovereign over the nations, verses 1 through 8. And we are looking at the title of the sermon for this week still and next week, is anyone really in control? Yes, God is. And we're really, really going to see that tonight. So let us all bow our heads together. Let's pray and ask God's help and direction for this time tonight. Father, thank you so much for your blessing us this morning. What a great psalm we studied. We thank you, Lord, for King David and the words that you gave him to pen at critical times in his life and how he placed his confidence and his trust in you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ask tonight, as we continue in our study of Daniel, that you would really bless here as we consider this critical text, this very, very important set of verses here in Daniel chapter 7. We need your help for that, and we ask that you would just give us a more powerful appreciation of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message tonight. I trust and depend in you to bring this message. We want to see our Savior high and lifted up, and we're surely going to do that in this text tonight. And so we ask for your help to do that, and we do so in the magnificent and powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Is anyone really in control? Well, in this world, it doesn't seem like it, does it? It's just a bunch of chaos going on all around us, but we know deep down in our hearts that our God is in charge. He is in control all the time, every day, all night. So we considered God is sovereign over the nations, and now tonight, point number two, God is sovereign over his kingdom. God is sovereign over his kingdom. We're looking at chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. Tonight, we'll take the verses as they fall in the outline. We're going to take these verses and break them up into three pieces, two verses each, and we're going to enjoy, I'm sure, what we're going to see tonight here in the book of Daniel. So here in chapter 7, and even previously, Daniel has seen some great visions. And quite a vision in verses 3 to 8 in our text tonight. But he has not seen anything yet. Just wait till what he sees tonight as we consider verses 9 through 14. As terrifying as those four beasts were, and we got to look at some pictures of artist renditions of that, verses 9 to 14 are even more awesome. They are more comforting, and they are more glorious as we consider our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is sovereign over the nations because, as we see now, he is sovereign over his kingdom. Verses 9 through 14 are going to contain three scenes that follow in rapid fire succession. Daniel chapter 7 is the most important chapter in the book. And verses 9 to 14 are some of the most important verses in the entire Word of God. They are important theologically, eschatologically, and Christologically. So let us begin with our first set of verses as subpoint letter A. God is sovereign because of his eternality and purity. God is sovereign because of his eternality and purity. Let us look at Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Here we see God is sovereign because of his eternality and his purity. We want to notice what is happening right now and what has happened already. As we see, Daniel is doing something, and it's been emphasized that we're going to look at each of the verses where we see this. Daniel is looking, he is seeing, he is beholding what is happening. And at points, as we go in our text tonight, he is really interested in what he is seeing in this vision that he is getting from God. So as we consider Daniel watching, looking, seeing, let us look at back to verse number 1 where all of this starts. And what do we see there in the first line? Daniel had a dream and visions. In verse number 2, he says, I saw. Verse number 4, he says, one sentence in, I beheld. And then verse number 6, after this I beheld. Verse 7, after this I saw. Verse number 9, I beheld. Verse number 11, I beheld. And again, in verse number 11, halfway through, I beheld. Verse 11 is a really, really big verse. And then verse number 13, he says, I saw. And down in verse number 21 begins, I beheld. So Daniel is looking intently and watching this vision and what God is showing him. This new scene that he is seeing has no beast in it. This is radically different right now in these next two verses that we are looking at. He sees thrones and he sees the Ancient of Days who takes a seat on his throne. Now I want us to, we're going to do some cross-referencing at some other verses tonight that are really good and come into play here. And so I want to go back first of all to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22 and verse number 19. We have the story here in 1 Kings 22 of King Ahab. He's like the Antichrist. He has a big mouth, which we're going to be seeing tonight in our text. Ahab has a big mouth. And we have Micaiah the prophet, and he is giving Ahab a word from the Lord, but Ahab never likes what he says. he never says anything good for me. It's all bad news. And so, and we see that there in verse number 18. Let's back up a verse. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me, but evil? Now here it is, verse 19, powerful truth from the prophet. You know, Ahab just gets done saying he never says anything good, but what he's going to say now is powerful truth. 19, and he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. Here we have Micaiah talking about the great scene that we are seeing here in 1 Kings, Daniel, and then if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 4. We're going to hit the book of Revelation a few times tonight as well. And in Revelation chapter 4, we get another picture of this great scene in heaven. Revelation 4 and verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Now, when you throw all these things together, this is quite a spectacular scene that we are seeing about our great God in heaven. And I was thinking to myself as I was looking at this about the big court appearance we had there in Washington, D.C. with our next Supreme Court judge. And we had all these people sitting around there. It is a pretty nice room, nice carpet, nice furnishings. But you know what? That is nothing like what we're going to see in heaven. Heaven is just going to be so far much more beautiful and spectacular. And there won't be any people sitting around the Lord in heaven with dumb questions either and showing how unintelligent they are. That's not going to be happening either at all. So back to Daniel 7 here. Only Daniel calls God, what he calls God here, the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days. This is God the Father on his eternal an universal throne. As the Ancient of Days, he is eternal. He is not old. Our God is eternal. We don't view him as old. He is the all-wise God. He is a big, big God, and he is much bigger than even Daniel has realized, and so much bigger than the puny beast kingdoms of this world that we have looked at. Daniel gives a description in these verses that makes all of this very crystal clear. What does he say? Well, Daniel says his clothing was white as snow. This speaks of his holiness, his purity, and his righteousness. And then Daniel says the hair of his head was like whitest wool. This speaks of his eternality, his purity, and his wisdom. He has always existed. And he is wise beyond all of our comprehension. And then Daniel says his throne was flaming fire. This speaks of his purifying and righteous judgment. And judgment is going to be meted out. And then Daniel says its wheels were blazing fire. This tells us that there are no spatial limitations or restrictions on his judgment. He sees everything and he is everywhere present. The judgment that our God is going to have on this world is awe-inspiring. I have often thought to myself, in my flesh now, in my flesh, I would love to have a seat on the 50-yard line at the great white throne judgment. When all these swamp creatures and people from history who hated the Lord Jesus Christ and hated our God in heaven, and to get to watch them be judged. Now, in my flesh, I'd love to see that. Are we going to be able to see that? I don't know. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that we get to watch that or not. We might be off somewhere in this universe doing God's bidding some other way at that time. We don't know. But our judgment will have been passed. Our rewards will have been had. We're enjoying the glories of heaven and all the great things that God has for us. And then that day comes when the world will be judged. But at this point, Daniel is showing us this beautiful picture of our great God. And then Daniel says, a river of fire was flowing, coming out from his presence. This conveys to us his righteous fury, his wrath, the wrath of his impending judgment. Psalm 97:3 says that fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. Now that's pretty good. That's a slam dunk. That's a body slam right there. Fire goes before him and burns up his foes on every side. And then Daniel says, thousands upon thousands served him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. Wow. That sounds like Revelation chapter 5. Going to run back there. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. The scene is an uncountable number of angels. Talk about a powerful scene. This is it right here in Revelation and in Daniel chapter 7. And before this awesome and all-powerful king, court is called into session, and Daniel says, and the books were opened. The court was set. Let the judgment begin. The Ancient of Days does everything by the book. Unlike the insane, wicked swamp of Washington, D.C., our God's judgment will be absolutely fair, and it will be equitable for every soul, angel, whatever the nations that will be judged. It will be absolutely 100% fair. Go back to your school days. Isn't that something you were concerned about at times? The teacher made this call and you said, that's not fair. Well, let me tell you something. When we get to be with the Lord, it's going to be real, real fair. Nobody's going to say, oh, that's not fair. That wouldn't be real smart to call that out anyway. Our God is going to be absolutely fair, equitable. Every single soul will get a fair decision. There will be no partiality. There will be no cover-ups. There will be no, not even a little hint of unfairness. Our God is totally fair. And this is true for his judgment of everyone, beginning here with the beast. All right? Fair. That brings us now to our second subpoint tonight, letter B. And our next two verses, God is sovereign with his sentence and patience. He's going to do two things here. He's going to give a sentence, and he's also going to be patient. God is sovereign with his sentence and patience. Daniel chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. 11, in a really powerful verse here. I beheld, here it is again, Daniel's watching very closely. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words. Now he's being kind. It should say the big mouth, which the horn spake. And then he says it again, I beheld, now notice, even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. as concerning the rest of the beasts. And here's where we're going to see the patience of God. They had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. So the little horn here, the Antichrist, he's mouthing off as the vision reverts now back to him. And this smart mouth, arrogant braggart, and his boasting are sandwiched between two God-focused poems. Verses 9 and 10 that we just looked at, and then as we look at verses 13 and 14. We want to notice here how fast God takes out the beast. It is quick, it is suddenly, it is without elaboration. The beast is taken out, slain, and body destroyed, and given over to the burning fire. Once again, let us go back to the book of Revelation. This time, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We're looking here at verses 19 to 21. Revelation 19, 19 through 21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. This is a scene of immense death. And the fowls are going to gorge themselves with the flesh of these dead bodies. Now, I don't remember which summer it was, but I had shot a groundhog down here in the yard, right out here in the middle of the big yard, and the vultures came. And man, they were circling. They were just, I don't know why they do that, but anyway, they were circling, and then 20 of them came down to this groundhog. And somehow they have an order. You eat first, and then you eat second, and you eat third. And my wife and I are watching this. And then we got in the car and left and went out and had dinner, and we came back, and the very last vulture was partaking of his meal. Now look, what we're seeing here in the book of Revelation, there's going to be no pecking order. It's going to be a free-for-all. These birds, there's going to be plenty, and they are just going to have a good old time here, as it says, as they were filled with the flesh of these dead bodies. It is a powerful, powerful scene here. One more scene, chapter 20 in Revelation, and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what happens in our text tonight, Daniel 7, we get some more looks at it in Revelation. It's turn out the lights on the beast. It is game over. The Antichrist is slain. It is quick. It is sudden. It is done. It is over. And the other beasts had their dominion taken away, as the next verse says, but were given an extension of time. Now, Sidney Gridanus says it like this, that Babylon, Medo-Persia, and Greece continued to exist as part of the kingdom that conquered them. They were shadows of themselves, but they were still there, but in a much diminished sense. So God showed patience with those first three kingdoms, the Roman Empire, and they're not getting any patience. They're done, and it's over, and that's how it's going to be. So not so for the Roman Empire, not so for the beast, not so for this wicked Antichrist, as it comes to its fullest and greatest expression in the little horn, the Antichrist. When God judges the little horn, the last remnant of the Roman Empire will be annihilated. And I want to share with you how Stephen R. Miller paints this picture for us in verse number 11. Daniel's attention was now directed toward the horn with the eyes and big mouth, the Antichrist. Evidently, the prophet was shocked by its extreme arrogance and looked intently to see what would happen. At last, judgment fell. The slaying of the beast indicates that the evil empire will be totally annihilated and its leader judged. If it were not so sad, the scene would be humorous. This little horn with a big mouth is spewing out venom toward the Almighty, when suddenly the fire of God's judgment falls and the little horn is silenced forever. Since both the little horn and his empire are symbolized by the beast figure, both the empire and its leader are judged when the beast is slain. The empire, being burned, decides its utter destruction. Yet the leader's consignment to fire may reasonably be understood as Revelation 19, verse 20, where it is specifically stated that the Antichrist and his followers will be doomed to the lake of fire. Notice this last statement he makes: punishment of the wicked after death is therefore taught in this passage in Daniel chapter 7. So this verse 11, it is powerful, powerful prophecy here by the given to Daniel. Well, that brings us to our last two verses in this section, verses 13 and 14, subpoint C. God is sovereign in his man and plan. God is sovereign in his man and plan, verses 13 and 14. Again, we see Daniel is looking, and as we saw in verse 11, I beheld twice. He's really, really was looking at this Antichrist thing, the little horn, and all the horrible things that he was spewing against Almighty God. Now, verse number 13, again, he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, capital S. We all know that is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. One like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, God the Father, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. We've been reading about all these kingdoms that are going to be destroyed. Not the Son of Man's kingdom will never be destroyed. Here we have in these last two verses a very spectacular scene. two persons take center stage, the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Son of Man, Jesus, the Messiah, and the Ancient of Days, God the Father. New Testament authors referenced these verses many times. Why? Because they're loaded with theological significance. Daniel sees someone, as he says here, coming with the clouds of heaven. This is a clear indication we're talking about someone divine. This is divinity, and it is a Christophany. He approaches the Ancient of Days and is brought in before the Ancient of Days. The Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought in before God the Father. Jesus with God the Father. And the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, is then given a universal and eternal kingdom by the Ancient of Days. Verse 14, as well as this whole section of verses, should be read slowly, 9 to 14, with meditation on the truth and the power of these verses. As I was studying this there at the table at the parsonage, my first thought as I was looking at this was, bow down and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We think of Handel's Messiah, the Hallelujah Chorus, and he shall reign forever and ever. And to think that that masterpiece, that thick book of music, was written in 24 days. I couldn't write that in 24 years. You know, we often wonder, you know, are we going to sing the music that we have here in heaven? Probably not. I don't know. But you know, if there's one piece, it would be the Hallelujah Chorus. I think that would be it. He shall reign forever and ever and ever. And it goes on and on, over and over and over, pressing home that point. These verses have weight to them, and we should allow the impact of them to sink deep down in our hearts. Like Psalm 108 this morning, this ought to give us a lot of confidence in our God. His kingdom is never going away. It doesn't matter what's happening down here on this earth right now or in the next years to come. That we have no idea what's going to happen. Our God's eternal, universal kingdom is going to be going on forever and ever. And it is given to, as Daniel says, one like the Son of Man. Now, whenever I write any word that references God in my notes, I capitalize it. Now, in the verse, the Son of Man, man is not capitalized in there. But in my notes, it is. The Son of Man, capital S, capital M. He comes in divine manifestation, as Daniel says, with the clouds of heaven. We know who the Son of Man is. It is Jesus Christ. It is the Messiah. He is the one who went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood before that all over Jerusalem, and every last drop to pay for our sin. This is not Israel. This is not Michael the archangel. This is not Moses. This is not Elijah. This is not Daniel. None of them are satisfactory. None of them. Only Jesus. The title Son of Man was Jesus' favorite self-designated title. In the Gospels, we see it 69 times. We're talking about a king, a kingdom, and power that has never been seen before and will not be seen until prophecy is fulfilled. Let me ask you a question tonight. Aren't you glad you chose Jesus? I ought to be hearing a hallelujah out there. Aren't you glad that you chose Jesus and that you're on the winning team? The Lord Jesus Christ was given this glorious kingdom following his finished work on the cross of Calvary and his ascension back to heaven. And the full manifestation of this kingdom will occur when he comes again. As Daniel says, on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Jesus Christ is the Son of Man in Daniel chapter 7. Duncan says of this passage, "This is a vision that began like a nightmare with monsters coming out of the sea, ends happily and hopefully with a man coming out of heaven whom God crowns sovereign over the entire world." And with that, I will say, amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this powerful, powerful passage in Daniel chapter 7. What scenes you gave to Daniel. And it's just neat to see how he was just watching ever so closely at what you were revealing to him. And certain things, he was really, really watching it. And we are so thankful tonight for Jesus, our Savior. And we're so thankful tonight that we have responded to his gospel and that we have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we know that we are going to be with you forever and ever and ever in your kingdom. It is going to be a wonderful, powerful, we just can't even explain how great it's going to be for all of eternity. And so we also consider at this time, as we know where we're headed, we also realize that there are literally billions of souls that have not bowed the knee to Christ. And so as we consider this awesome scene, we lift up the souls of the world tonight. Would you please enable, empower, and give us opportunities in this coming week that we might share the good news of the gospel with some of these souls that desperately need to be saved. So, Father, we're asking you to do that. We pray that you'll help all of us to have wonderful opportunities to share that great, great news so that they can also be with us and with you forever and ever and ever. We thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Thank you for this great chapter in Daniel, for the wonderful truth that we've looked at tonight. We give you praise, give you thanksgiving. In Jesus' precious name, amen.